Chuck Chat Freestyle for August 20th, 2015. This is Dog Days of Podcasting. I said summer yesterday, sorry. Dog Days of Podcasting, Season 4, Episode 17. Hey, how are you today? As you can tell, I'm a little more with it today. Thank you, everybody. First off, thank you for asking, how's your mouth? I really appreciate it. Doing very well. Excuse me while I take a sip of my fifth glass of water of the day. You know what they say about the fifth glass of water of the day. It's always the best. A little tip of the hat to Michael Butler there. Thank you. Appreciate that. I'm sure you're taking a sip of whatever it is you're taking a sip of also. Hey, if you want to go on a diet, and I know that there are people listening to this that are working on that, get oral surgery. It'll screw up what you can eat really good. I mentioned yesterday that I was able to eat some eggs. It's like, ooh, two eggs and some soft bread. Boy, that a lunch doesn't make. And then dinner was tortellini, little cheesy pasta-filled tortellini, just a few of them. Got to smash them down in the back of the mouth because everything up front is off limits. And the, had something else. Oh, a piece of salmon. So, got to get some protein in there. And then this morning was oatmeal with maple syrup on it. Woohoo! I think lunch I had more of the tortellini. The things are going much better today, though. Let me tell you what happened yesterday. Shortly after I got done recording the show, around noon, the local anesthetic on the roof of the mouth started wearing off. And yeah, there was a little discomfort as the pain, because what they did is they kind of skinned the roof of my mouth. They didn't take it. This is going to be a little gross. If you don't like these things today, you might want to fast forward now or go to the next show, because it's going to get nasty. But if you like that stuff, if you don't mind it and you like horror shows, well, this is a real life one for you. As the anesthetic wore off, the bleeding started because they had to take a graft of skin from the roof of my mouth and put it down on the front lower teeth to make gums. And it's sewn in there and it's been doing all right. And I taste blood. I'm tasting lots of blood. I'm tasting more blood. Maybe it'll stop. Maybe it'll clot soon. Didn't clot. So about 1:30, I'm waiting for the pool guy to come over. He's supposed to check and make sure our newly installed pool filter motor thing is working up to snuff. And I'm starting to get sick. So swallowing blood is not the best thing. So I tried spitting it in the sink and went, man, there's getting to be a lot of this stuff. After this guy left, I was trying to measure this. I'm a statistical science guy and see if I could give some decent facts to the doctor if I call him up, because it said, do not remove that stent, that little plastic thing that's all over my teeth and palate. That's what's kind of keeping things together. That's meant to keep my tongue off of the fresh wound. They can't stitch this thing shut. Because I asked the doctor yesterday, I said, why didn't we just suture the palate? He said, because you need two clean cuts. And this wasn't a clean cut. It was almost like they took one of those cheese slicers that not the wire kind with the little roller in the wire, the other kind that just kind of scrapes the surface layer off. Yeah, that's kind of what they did to me. And I didn't know this till I looked at it this morning after everything was cool. So I called up the doctor. He puts his personal phone number on there. I said, doctor, I'm losing a lot of blood. Something was bleeding. He said, come on in. So I drove back into the office. They took this thing out, and man, what a nasty scene that was. It looked like they had hauled a placenta out of my mouth because it was clotting on top of this stent and on the bottom of the stent and in my cheeks and gums and talk about the heebie-jeebies. Well, I said, let's get to work. And he stabs me with the local anesthetic again twice to numb things up. And he said, this should slow things down because it's a vasovascular constrictor, if that means anything, or if I said it right. But it constricts the veins to slow the bleeding down. But he didn't put on that little cotton swab of numbing rub because he wanted to get right in there and slow things down. What happened was it formed what's called a liver clot, where the blood comes out, and it clots a little bit, but because it's moving around a little bit, more blood comes out. And it can't clot over the wound, so it clots like next to the wound and makes this big, ugly blob of scum and blech. That was nasty. That was nasty. I did take a picture of me smiling in all of this, and because the blood was behind the stent, it made my teeth really bloody red. And it looked like I ate a vampire or something. Well, vampires wouldn't have much blood of their own, but I looked like a vampire. It was crazy. So, you got to have fun under situations like this. But I wasn't sure as I was driving back to the periodontist, I should say, whether or not I was going to make it or should be driving. I didn't feel lightheaded, but I just felt like I'm getting a little tired here. I'd rather just take a nap and recuperate. So I got there. They put some stuff on it. They did direct pressure to the wound. It eventually stopped. And they said, here, keep putting pressure on it. So I had like some gauze in my mouth, pushing up. They put, it starts with an E. I can't remember. It's a familiar medical word. They put some goop on a bandage and stuck it up there. And then they put the stent back in. So I said, that should slow things down. We've got this, I can't remember, epi something, no, not epi, darn it, can't remember, too much facts yesterday, and after I got home and kept putting pressure on it and changing out the gauze, and the bleeding slowed down, there were just traces of it on the gauze when I would change it, pushing it against the roof of my mouth with my tongue as hard as I could for as long as I could, my tongue got sore, but it eventually stopped, thank goodness. Woke up this morning, knowing that I'd have to do a podcast for work with Craig, and things look good. I didn't look like I just ate a raw chicken or something. The blood was off of my teeth, and things were good. So I'm feeling much better today. It was a bit of grossness yesterday, and because I can't eat a lot or a lot of different things, I'm hungry. I'm hungry a lot now. Which it means I'm probably going to drop those few pounds that I picked up in the last few weeks, which is fine with me. My dress pants earlier this week were a little tight, and I don't wear them all the time, but I wear them when I go to the office. And I went, uh-oh, I stepped on the scale and went, I'm up about 5. That's enough to make my 32s feel big. So let's get back into the 32s in the next week or so. In the meantime, I'm getting a little tired of this plastic thing in my mouth. Have to keep it on for 48 hours, and I'm done with 24, so hopefully by tomorrow we'll be in good shape, and I can at least take it off for a little while. He'd recommend that I still keep wearing it for a week. Based on the sensitivity of that open wound on the roof of my mouth, I probably will. I don't know how that's going to go, so we'll do touch and feel. Whew! The other thing that I fixed yesterday was Technorama. We had a wonderful show Sunday night with a whole bunch of people in the studio, familiar faces in familiar places. This is Mike Menengay, Ben Rangitin, Keith Lane, Brian Brown, Tim Adamek, and of course Sam Roberts, who is visiting from her recent move to Atlanta. She was back here, so we said, let's all get together. And it was hysterical. It was fun. It was old times that I wish I had been more of those old times. The problem was, somehow the video got whacked. We not only had the audio of everybody talking, but some recording from previously where Mike Menengay was talking about square pegs and round holes and putting things together, and it was like an old episode overlaid or underlaid on the audio. Oh, that's disappointing, because the video is a really fun part of watching this now, and it was like watching an old version of Slice of Sci-Fi. And spoiler alert, if you haven't watched, we started it out like an old version of Slice of Sci-Fi with Sam reading the headlines. It was brilliant. So I went onto YouTube and I said, how do you fix the underlying audio? How do you replace the underlying audio? And it turns out you can't. You can't upload your own custom audio to be put on the video. There's licensing concerns and whatnot. What you can do is pull from their library. Here's some music to use as bed music. No, not what I wanted. I had good audio from just the audio recording, because the audio machine and the video machine in the studio are two different machines. So I had a wonderful audio recording and tricked the system. Because I was watching videos of how who's doing what and how are they doing this on with the crappy YouTube editor. I mean, it works. You can take your video, you drag the video into the video timeline, and then you can drag audio. Well, I need audio. And I watched somebody drag a second video into that audio timeline, and it extracted the audio for him. So I did that. I took my MP3, threw it in ScreenFlow, exported it as an MP4 or M4V or whatever the heck it was, and uploaded that to YouTube as a private video so nobody ever saw it, and then dragged that onto the audio timeline. Worked swimmingly. In fact, it somehow magically synced up without my intervention with the previous video, because there were about 4 or 5 seconds where nothing was happening, and then Sam comes on and does the headlines, and I thought I was going to have to trim and cut and edit. Worked great. Worked great. Everything was in sync. And I'm very happy about that, that we got that one precious moment of Technorama slice of sci-fi or slice of Technorama history up and running. It was great. Wow, running a little long because of all the gory details at the beginning. So, quick responses. Melissa mentioned that she was waiting. Her bucket list has an interview with Brett Spiner on it. Don't hold your breath. I walked up to this man's table a couple of years ago at I walked up to his table at DragonCon on the Walk of Fame a couple of years ago, and I said, "Hi, I'm Chuck DeMasi. I'd like to do an interview for you on our podcast." And he gave me this scowled face and goes, "No! Wow, that was really rude. That was, I mean, it's okay to say, I'm sorry, I don't do interviews." But he was just downright rude. Now, could have been other factors involved. I'm willing to give anybody the benefit of the doubt. To say, all right, maybe he had a bad day. Maybe he's already had 1,000 of these nerds asking him for podcast interviews. I don't know. But it wasn't any much fun. And it really turned me off. LeVar Burton also declined, but he did it in a more polite way. And I don't think I'll ever ask either of those two people. Ken Kennedy mentioned that a lot of people aren't talking about the Dragon Con schedule. Sounds like a few of us are going. Yes, a few of us are going. Here's mine in a nutshell. 5:30 Friday night, Hilton Room 203. That's the podcasting track. We'll be doing a live show with Clinton Alvord from Comedy Forecast. Craig Stepp and I will be doing a mashup show with him. So it'll be Comedy Forecast and Technorama and Friends, or Technorama and Comedy Forecast and Friends, or the Friends and... Oh, you get the idea. I've seen it printed different ways in different places. So it's one of those, who gets top billing at a podcast track? That's just funny now that I say it out loud. Top billing. And we're joined by a special guest once again this year, John Bell. We've written up some scripts. We got the lineup order in place. We've got action items to take care of in the next 2 weeks. My Dragon Con blue card came in the mail today. It was the only piece of mail. Made me very happy. So that's Friday night. Saturday morning is going to be the parade. Starts at 9 a.m. And it's a little longer route this year. But find your place on the route. I'm sure they'll be publishing that on the website soon. We are closing the parade once again. So Santa Robot from Futurama and the gang. Clinton is Scruffy. I'm Farnsworth. Craig's going to be driving the truck that hauls Santa. He'll be Fry. I've got 2 cans of bright orange spray paint for him so he can paint his hair. I've got 2 bald appliances. I didn't know I had 2 bald heads, but forgot about the one that I bought for the Richard Phobes radio show in 2006, 7? When did I do that? I don't know. I took over his show one time. I think it was episode 219. Don't ask. I don't know why I remember silly numbers like that. So those are my responses for today. I think I had some others, but I didn't write them down. Usually when I write them down quickly, they're better. I know that's a couple of days old. Today's review slash show, man, I'm trying to talk as fast as I can, and it's still 14 minutes, is Continuum. Just finished Continuum Season 1. Ben Rangington and Keith Lane turned me onto this and said, watch the first show all the way to the end. Because Ben said, I am not much one of these fans about man out of his time, or in this case, woman out of her time, and struggling with the past and the future and the present and everything. But they really do a great tie-in, and they... I wish they'd hit on it a little bit more through the series, but they do wrap it up at the end of the first season with a great tie-in the man, the smoking man from X-Files is on here. He's not smoking all the time, of course, because you don't do that on TV anymore, or you shouldn't. And he plays the main scientist character who's kind of behind a lot of this stuff. Oh, spoiler alert, sorry. I just ruined the end of the first season, or first episode. But you'll find that he and his younger character counterpart have a great interaction with the lead character. Great sci-fi, great time travel. I'm giving this one a solid 9.5. How's that for a disambiguous answer? So with that, I am done. I am feeling much better. Thank you very much. I look forward to seeing some of you at Dragon Con. Oh, I didn't finish the schedule, did I? I did the parade. And then Clinton and Craig and I are going to be doing a Mystery Science Theater version. We'll be doing the audio only of the Star Wars Christmas special. Holiday special. Sorry, it's holiday special. Happy Life Day to you. Pain, suffering, and alcohol will be involved with this. We'll go back to our room and we'll record with four microphones. Me, Clinton, Craig, Scott. Yeah, Scott, Tyler, my buddy, will be joining us for this. And we've all watched it recently, so we've all got ideas in our head of what we're going to say when, and have fun with that. And maybe it'll inspire somebody to listen again. Oh, speaking of John Bell, I didn't realize that he put out a show recently. He did a kind of a Mystery Science Theater version of The Lone Ranger on his audio podcast, and it was hysterical. I was listening to this on the flight back from San Diego to Phoenix on Tuesday night, and I was trying not to be too obvious that I was laughing, but it was funny. So if you go to, is it thebatfree.com? Look up Bell's in the Bat Free on iTunes. You'll find it. Good stuff. He's a funny man, very funny man, and I get the feeling I'm going to be left in the dust of his ad-lib humor at Dragon Con. Sunday night, 5 p.m., I believe it is, Hyatt Regency 5 is the Parsec Awards. So if you want to meet lots of other podcasters, this is a good place to go and a good time. It's where I met P.G. Holyfield. May he rest in peace. I know it's been a year, and many of you were friends with him. I wish I'd got to know him better. This is a good place. And one of my objectives when I go there, I can't win an award this year because I'm on the committee, but one of my objectives is to get pictures of these people, with these people, because as we all learn painfully from PG, is you never know when someone's time is up, and you go, gee, I wish I had a picture. So I have, that's one of my objectives as I get older in life, is to start getting pictures of these people who I may not get to see for a long, long time or ever again. You never know what the future holds. Okay, way too long today. You can play it at double speed if you really can understand my gibberish at regular speed. Have fun with that. I am out.
There's that music again. That means that's all for this time. So let me tell you how to get in touch with me if you're so inclined. My podcasts are at chuckchat.com, where they've been since 2004. More general information about me is at Chuck Tomasi. I assume you can spell Chuck, right? But Tomasi is T-O-M-A-S-I, and there you'll find links to Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, books, career notes, and all that stuff. Some shows are recorded in the Binary Studio in sunny Phoenix, Arizona, and the rest are recorded on my phone using Boss Jock. I'm sure you can tell the difference just by listening. This show is part of the Dog Days of Podcasting, a challenge for podcasters to make a podcast a day for 30 days, about this time each year, August. Thanks to my friend and coworker Craig Stepp for coming up with the idea in 2012. For more information about the Dog Days of Podcasting, head over to dogdaysofpodcasting.com. Thank you for listening, and I give you a binary high five. 101.